is richly abundant in everything we could possibly need to live a fulfilled and blessed life. Tuning into God. You are there. I can see you. You are there. I can feel you. You are there. I'm coming home to you. I love to pray. It makes me smile when I'm sad, gives me courage when I'm scared, and gives me a sense of connectedness when I'm lonely. Prayer is the holy process of turning inward, of coming face to face with our highest self. It is the invitation to enter, reconnect, and experience our holiness. Prayer is an ancient method of shifting our thoughts from the small self to the grander whole. It has the profound ability to raise our consciousness and heal our heart. When our heart is healed, it is naturally filled with hope, faith, and trust, and we radiate a confidence that affects every area of our life. Prayer enables us to rise above the mundane, transcend mood, let go of fears and anxieties, and reconnect with our highest self. Prayer is one of the few tools that support us in raising our awareness to a spiritual level where our problems disappear. When we pray, we work toward only one goal, and that goal is to purify our mind. Through prayer, we rid ourselves of self-doubt and self-condemnation. We cleanse our subconscious mind, and we make room for peace, health, happiness, and hope. Prayer permeates our consciousness and fills it with divine love, which inspires us to soar to new heights. Dear God, guide me, partner with me. Hold me and support me as you lift me back up to where I belong. Prayer allows us to experience the world through our most divine self and the blessings that exist all around us. When we look at our life and our experiences through the divine perspective, we see views that aren't available to us when we are only looking through the lens of our individual humanity. By accessing higher levels of consciousness, we open up to divine eyes that alter the way we see our life and the trials and tribulations of our everyday experiences. When we make the conscious choice to rise above our lower self, our fears, and our individual reality, we become privy to information, insights, and ideas that aren't available to us when we are looking through the narrow limits of our human perspective, our human eyes. Prayer is the powerful tool that returns us to our most divine expression and opens the door to higher planes of consciousness. Prayer allows us to elevate ourselves at any moment from the gravitational pull of a stressful situation, whether it's a hurtful exchange with a loved one, a difficult circumstance at work, or a horrible act of violence taking place in the world. Through the vehicle of prayer, we are able to navigate our way out of the darkness of our heartache and negative feelings and find our way back into the loving embrace of our higher self. If we ask the universe to be our partner and guide us on the path to wholeness, it will oblige. As the Bible tells us, and as I will remind you often, ask and you shall receive. The Matrix of Multiple Realities. I exist all at once. I am everything I see. Turning the kaleidoscope of my mind opens me to the magic of new realities. Did you know that divine consciousness and human consciousness coexist and are operating within each one of us all the time? Right now, a full range of experience and emotion is available to you as a human being. You can be burdened by fear, sadness, and suffering as you struggle against your perceived flaws and limitations. In the very next minute, you can be filled with love, joy, and an exhilarating sense of freedom as you embrace the divine perspective and realize that you are much more than the sum of all your parts. The level of consciousness you choose to tune into each moment of each day will determine the quality of your experience of the world. This is because everything in this universe carries a particular vibration. Everything in the universe is made up of electromagnetic energy that vibrates at different frequencies. Fear, resentment, and depression vibrate at a lower level than love, joy, and appreciation. When you're vibrating at a low level of consciousness, you only see what isn't working. You focus on the negative, on your weaknesses, shortcomings, and unfulfilled desires. And when you're vibrating at a high level of consciousness, the world and everyone in it is as it should be. You easily see possibilities and solutions. You are naturally in the flow, excited and passionate about your life. You're at peace with who you are. So what's the problem? If you're not living inside the state of consciousness that supports you in expressing your highest self, you will inevitably fall prey to the devilish vibrations of your lowest self. Like different websites on the internet, every state of consciousness that you click on, placing your thoughts or awareness on it, opens up different emotions, different experiences, and ultimately a different view of reality. This means at any time you can click on disappointment.com and dip into the feelings of disappointment you have about your life, your choices, or the bad behaviors of others toward you. If that doesn't do it for you, you may want to pay a visit to resignation.com, where you are certain to find evidence that you will never change and your life will never get better. While surfing on the dark side of life, you are led to other dark states of consciousness. On the resignation website, you're likely to see a pop-up window, a great place for anger to advertise. The words are compelling. Grudges welcome. So you click on it. The site presents all the different variations of anger. There's a video clip of road rage in which you see someone driving fast and screaming, "You idiot! What are you thinking? Get off your cell phone and learn how to drive!" You can almost feel this person's blood pressure rising as he is taken over by an explosive rage. Something about this website is comforting. You take a deep exhale as suddenly you don't feel so bad about your own behavior. Another site, anger.com, offers you the perfect opportunity to dwell on and justify your resentments, whether with the people you work with your circumstances at home, with yourself, or with the world. Frustration is here as well. "Don't forget about me," it irritably shouts out. Why be angry, sad, or depressed when you could just be frustrated? The vibration of frustration exists along with all the others in this moment, so it has quite a few emotions to compete with. And like any construct inside a healthy ego, it wants and needs attention. It likes to take over when life is not going your way, or people are not doing what they said they would do, or when you're caught up in a cycle of wishing and wanting something and getting nowhere. "For God's sake" is its mantra, and saying it invites the annoying feeling of frustration to fill you up and take you off the plane of consciousness where contentment and peace reside. Of course, your consciousness surfing tour would not be complete without paying a visit to fear.com. Fear is a highly trafficked site that probably gets the most daily hits. It no longer has to advertise because its popularity is tremendous. Some would say it's as popular as Oprah. Fear knows that everyone can dip into it at any moment, and it seizes every opportunity to insert self-doubt into even the strongest minds. It likes to implant subtle doubts and erode feelings of certainty. And it gets off on watching how quickly a human being will sell his or her soul to visit it. Be careful. Watch out. Are you sure? People may not like you if you're too great. Maybe you don't really have what it takes. There are so many people smarter than you. You'll be all alone if you speak your truth. They won't love you if you open your mouth. Fear of loss, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, and fear of rejection. All these emotions and the states of consciousness they carry with them coexist in this moment. Any and all of these states are available to you right now. Along with the low-level.coms, high-vibrational.coms are hanging out there in cyberspace. Joy.com, happiness.com, peaceofmind.com, contentment.com, and passionateselfexpression.com. All of these are available to you right now, too. It's your click. When we vibrate in harmony with our positive emotions, we take ourselves on an exhilarating trip uptown. And when we give power to our lower negative emotions, they take us on a depressing ride downtown. This is where we, as humans, have a powerful choice to make. We can live in heaven, or we can live in hell. Heaven is a perfect state of consciousness. It's the experience of being completely present to all that is and all that we are. It is the experience of embracing and abiding in the fullness of our human and divine nature. As spiritual masters have long said, both heaven and hell exist right now. People who are intoxicated with anger and hatred are in hell. People with incredible peace, generosity, and compassion are in heaven. We can pray every day and choose life-affirming behaviors that lift us up and carry us to higher planes of consciousness. Or we can give up, be lazy, fall prey to the entitlement issues of our ego, and get swept away into the darkness of our lowest impulses. If we are not committed to growing, evolving, and living our best life, we will inevitably search for and find an outer fix, some form of instant gratification to numb our pain and throw us back into a state of denial so we can forget about what's possible for us. There we can try to stay comfortably numb with our gifts hidden from us and from the world. Instant gratification is always an option if we aren't ready to heal and return to our divine path, our true essence. Most of us have found ourselves off our path more than once, driven to make impulsive decisions that lead us away from our dreams and down a long, dark road to nowhere. If we do not take the time to care for our inner world, to nourish our holy self, we will be taken over by our automatic programming, which is usually inconsistent with our highest expression. If you are reading this book, it is because surfing on the dark side is no longer acceptable to you. It is no longer an option, because either your pain is too great or your desire for having it all is too compelling. You want more, and you know you deserve more. You know there is something you're not getting, and you're ready to get it. Otherwise, you would be reading something else. So, today is a perfect day to choose to give up control, take back the power from your lower self, and turn inward to God. It is there that you will have the will and the desire to bask in the peace, love, and joy of your heavenly self. Opposing forces. Let me stop the struggle, give up the fight, head down the road to freedom, return to the holy land of peace. Two opposing forces exist within each one of us, the force that expands and uplifts us, that inspires us to share our unique gifts for the benefit of the world, and the force that holds us back, that traps us in the smallness of our lowest thoughts and feeds our most primal selfish urges. These two forces often wage an internal war, and the battleground is our consciousness. I love the teaching story about an old Native American chief and his grandson. One day, the old chief decided that the time had come to teach his favorite grandson about life. So with great presence, he explained, "Son, there is a fight going on within the mind and heart of every human being who is alive today. Even though I am a wise old chief, the leader of our people, this same fight is going on inside me. It is as if there are two big wolves living inside me. One is white and one is black. The white wolf is good, kind, and does no harm. He lives in harmony with all that is around him and does not take offense when no offense was intended. The good wolf fights only when it is right to do so, and when he has to, he does it in the right way. But the black wolf is very different. He is loud, angry, discontent, jealous, and bitter. The littlest thing will send him into a fit of rage. He fights everyone all the time for no reason. He cannot think clearly because his anger and hate are so great. It is helpless anger, for his anger will change nothing." The old chief stood in silence for a few minutes, letting the story of the two wolves penetrate his wise grandson's consciousness. And then he slowly bent down, looked deeply into his grandson's eyes, and confessed, "Sometimes it's hard to live with these two wolves inside me, for both of them fight hard to dominate my spirit." Spellbound by his elder's account of this great internal battle, the boy pulled on his grandfather's breechcloth and anxiously asked, "Which one of the wolves wins, Grandfather?" Pulling with even more passion on his grandfather's clothes, the young boy asked again, "Which one wins, the white good wolf or the mean bad black wolf? I must know now, Grandfather. Please tell me." With a knowing smile, the chief placed his hand on his grandson's shoulder and in a strong, firm voice said, "The one I choose to feed, grandson, the one I choose to feed." This simple, poignant story reflects the plight of the human experience. Each of us is engaged in a continual struggle as the forces of light and dark battle for our attention and our allegiance. The light and the dark reside inside us at the same time, and we have to choose which part we will pay attention to and feed. Truth be told, there is a whole pack of wolves running around inside us. The loving wolf, the kind-hearted wolf, the smart wolf, the sensitive wolf, the strong wolf, the selfless wolf, the creative wolf, and along with them are the dissatisfied wolf, the ungrateful wolf, the entitled wolf, the nasty wolf, the selfish wolf, and the destructive wolf. Each and every day, we have the opportunity to acknowledge all these wolves, all these parts of us, and we get to choose which to focus on and feed. Prayer is the spiritual food that helps us nourish and empower the good wolves. It's a must. It's one of the few things we can do to ensure that the good wolves win. It takes strength and courage to stand strong in the face of the dark wolves. We are deeply conditioned to fear them and give our power to them. That is why we need God. God consciousness will help us win this battle. God, Goddess, and all the other powers of goodness can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. At every moment, with every thought, word, and deed, we allow ourselves either to be guided by the God force within us or to be taken over by our darker impulses. We have the choice to summon the light or to remain susceptible to the darkness. Our internal darkness, our shadow self, is triggered in times of fear, loss, and rage. And if we are not diligent, we will get swept away in it, temporarily interrupting our connection with our spiritual source. The darkness that exists both inside and outside us is a force that must be understood and respected. It is a force that can bring us to our knees or be our greatest teacher. When dark impulses arise, a door is open for more darkness to enter. This is the universal law of attraction. It states that like attracts like. If we allow our darkest thoughts and emotions to flourish inside us, we add to our suffering and prolong our pain. Every time we are wounded, hurt, betrayed, or let down by either ourselves or others, we must be aware that this heartache separates us from our divine source and opens us up for dark feelings to enter. When we are hurt, we are vulnerable. Just as after we have had the flu or an operation of some kind, we must take extra special care of ourselves. We must guard against other germs coming in and infecting us further. The same is true for our emotional wounds. In times of stress, we have to be extra gentle with ourselves and diligent with our commitment to bring ourselves back into alignment with our divine source. We must fight hard and make our spiritual rituals a top priority. Without God, we will sink into a dark hole of the collective unconscious that is filled with more pain and self-pity than anyone deserves to bear. While in the dark hole of your lowest self, the forces of evil or darkness eagerly fill your consciousness with self-doubt, negativity, and feelings of hopelessness. Do not let this happen. But if it does, work diligently with prayer and prayer treatments to get yourself out of it. Prayer treatments are healing affirmations, where through prayer the focus of attention shifts entirely away from the problem and onto God's goodness. Although you may have lost sight of it in the darkness, goodness is not that far away. It resides at the opposite side of the spectrum, but it is still on the spectrum. The dance between the inner and the outer. With grace, let me move between the inner and the outer. With ease, let me commingle with the realities that coexist. Let my heart be open to the duality of all that I am and all that there is. We're so trained and driven to look to the external world to get our needs met, to get the good feelings we seek. We think, if only we get the right body or the right relationship, if only we get that project finished or have all the money we want. We're sure there must be something in the external world that will finally deliver us to bliss. It usually takes a cracking open of some part of our life where we can't make sense of things, where we run into an obstacle that we can't control or manipulate, to return us to the holy place within that ultimately restores us. Events, circumstances, and experiences happening in the outer world will crack open the illusions we create inside our ego structure. I believe the cracks are there to turn us inward and to bridge the gap between the internal and the external so that we can return to our holiness. I remember one of the many times when I gave up my prayer practice and allowed my extra-large ego to take control of my life. I was trying to reach enlightenment by depriving myself of everything and anything in the external world without nourishing or working on my internal world. At 28 years old, I was lying on a beach at a club I frequented, sunning myself, off drugs, off alcohol, off cigarettes, off sugar, off bread, off men, off shopping, and off praying. I was empty and alone. Then this guy who had been pursuing me came by and asked if I would go on a date with him. Without much thought, I replied, "Only if you put drugs in my food." I told him I didn't drink, I didn't do drugs, I didn't shop, I barely ate, and I no longer was having sex to make myself feel better, so if he would hide some drugs in my food, I would go out with him. Sure enough, he did. I was devastated. After a few years of working so hard on my recovery, I had just blown it. I had given up everything for a quick fix that led me nowhere. After much anguish and sorrow, I once again understood that I had been trying to get in the outer world something that could only be gotten in the inner world. When we are hungry for something to make us feel good about ourselves and we refuse to take care of our inner needs, we do stupid things. We repeat patterns that we know will lead us nowhere. We succumb to our addictions, whether compulsively surfing the internet, shopping, viewing porn, eating, drinking, gambling, or smoking. Most people who suffer deep feelings of emptiness know there's nothing, and I mean nothing, that can fill that inner hole. The only fulfillment lies in reconnecting with a spiritual source. We must reach deep inside and nourish, massage, and care for our internal world. Prayer is the answer. It soothes the soul, heals the heart, and tempers external urges. Prayer is the sacred process of opening up and reconnecting with our most awesome and inspired self. Without a profound connection with our internal world, we will never experience the true joys of the external world, because the two go hand in hand. Once we have tasted the sweetness of our internal world, we see that what happens in the outer world is not as important, because we are present with something so much grander, so much greater than we ever thought possible. Being divinely connected, living a prayer-filled life, ensures that we experience all the good feelings we long for without leaving the quietness of our inner sanctuary. When we are connected to our inner world, we experience what writer Franz Kafka so gorgeously expressed when he wrote, "You don't need to leave your room. Remain sitting at your table and listen. Don't even listen. Simply wait. Don't even wait. Be quite still and solitary. The world will freely offer itself to you to be unmasked. It has no choice. It will roll in ecstasy at your feet." The Hungry Ghost. I allow your love to fill the hunger of my unmet needs. May the hole in my heart heal today. May the sweet nectar of your grace fill my ever-loving soul as I bask in the satisfaction of your nourishing light. Within each of us is a hungry ghost that is always craving more, whether it's more money, fame, recognition, acknowledgement, or material things. Hungry ghost is a Buddhist term that refers to an aspect of the self that is emotionally bereft, starving to have its needs met, but not knowing how to accomplish it. No matter how much we have, if we are deprived in the inner world, the hungry ghost takes over, and we find it impossible to feed its insatiable appetite. The hungry ghost is never satisfied. Ironically, though, when we allow ourselves to bask in our connection to spirit, we want for very little because we're so rich inside. If all we ever prayed for, meditated on, and asked for opened up a deeper connection to the divine, everything that vibrates on those higher levels of consciousness, including abundance, would come to us. But when we are disconnected from this source, we hunger for anything that will give us the illusion that it makes us feel better. The only satisfaction for the hungry ghost is to fill it with God, with love, with higher consciousness, to connect all that we are and all that there is. When we are connected to our true essence, we feel absolutely wonderful inside, That's how we know we are one with God. We are able to rise above the small, lonely feelings of our desperate heart, searching for their divine counterparts. When we are connected, we are able to bring into the world that which we seek. When we're filled up inside, we naturally generate love, compassion, and kindness for ourselves and for others. Life truly is an amazing dance between the inner and the outer. We need the outer experience so that we will learn, grow, and evolve. But to go after the outer without tending to the inner, we end up empty and painfully disappointed. And to hang out in just the inner world, unless we have chosen the life of a monk or happen to be a saint, we likely experience isolation, loneliness, and lack as well. When we are connected to our inner world, we already are what we seek. We already have what we long for, and most importantly, we know that we never have to create from a place of lack. When we return to our true source inside, we feel good about who we are, and we feel worthy enough to experience the joy of manifesting what we desire in our outer life. When we are connected to our outer world, we see the kinds of experiences we want to have that will be fun, exciting, and creative, and that will support us in our evolution and growth, rather than desperately trying to attain something that will make us feel better in the moment. We no longer have to ask, what can I do and what can I get to make myself feel better about me? Instead, we understand the undeniable truth that we are whole and worthy, loved and lovable. We are able to plant the seeds of our desires in our well-fertilized consciousness and know they will come to fruition. Prayer is the path that delivers us to our most divine selves. It washes us clean and tills the soil of our consciousness so that more life-affirming holy thoughts and feelings can take root. When we are in the presence of our power, potential, beauty, worthiness, and light, we are not as vulnerable to critical thoughts of despair, self-doubt, greed, fear, blame, or darkness. When we are connected to our spiritual essence, we feel good enough, wanted, loved, confident, safe, and inspired. And when we are disconnected, we feel scared, small, weak, unworthy, unlovable, abandoned, and alone. As Emmett Fox said in The Golden Key, if you are thinking about your difficulty, you are not thinking about God. Through the vehicle of prayer, we come to know God. Through the power of prayer, we come to know our holiness. Opening up. Release me from my past. Unleash the limitations of my awareness. Open me up so that I may hear you. Return me to the arms of your grace. Returning to our holiness requires us to open up, to admit that we don't know it all, and to surrender our will in order to be guided by forces that are larger than ourselves. What is called for here is a humble heart. The law of divine guidance that I wrote about in Spiritual Divorce tells us that God will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. When we get out of our own way and let go of our defenses, we become humble. Humility is the doorway through which the divine can walk into our life. Without humility, we believe we can do it ourselves. Without humility, our false sense of pride or ego prohibits us from seeing the entire situation. It keeps us from seeing with clear eyes. The ego remains in charge until we step outside our righteous belief that we are independent, separate beings. As long as this myth is intact, we keep the door closed to higher wisdom. Humility allows us to surrender all that we know, all that we don't know, and all that we think we should know, so that we can return to an open state through which God can enter. This is what it takes. For most humans, returning to a humble state is easier said than done. But this too we can pray for. We must pray to know our entire self, not just a part of ourself. It is counterintuitive to what many teach, but to know oneself is most often to limit oneself. To the extent we cling to being right about who we are and to the truth of our life, our beliefs will blind us. We will be unable to see the full spectrum of what's possible when we embrace our divinity. Most of us would rather remain closed and cling tightly to our inadequacies and limitations than to journey beyond the boundaries of what our ego thinks is real. But in the words of author Elizabeth Appel, "And the day came when the risk to remain closed in a bud became more painful than the risk it took to blossom. This risk is a choice we all must make. When I am in need of assistance to get out of my own small, limited reality, I use this moving quote as a prayer." A Humble Heart. Dear God, on this day I ask that you support me in stepping out of the confines of my ego and into your sacred arms. I acknowledge today that there is only so much I can have or do on my own. I admit that my greatness exists in being able to admit my smallness. I admit that I am not the greatest manager of my own life, and that you, God, and only you have the power to return me to the Holy Land, the land of the Most High. So today, I ask that you take me as your partner, that you use me as your will, that you guide me to live your highest vision of my life, that you use me to serve and be of service. My life is yours, and I thank you for bringing me in and making me your partner in perfection. I feel you now by my side. I feel the calm of knowing you are there. I feel the soft sense of love flooding my entire being. My humble heart thanks you and blesses you. And so it is, and it is so. Amen. Your ego is designed to be right about what it knows, what it feels, and what it believes. It wants you to be right about all the things you believe about yourself, whether that is you're unworthy, you're not good enough, you're flawed, you can't do it, or you can't have it all. Your ego wants to be right about how your life is going to turn out, even if that means you have to screw up your life. When you are firmly rooted inside your ego structure, your connection to your higher power still exists, but the channel through which you can experience it becomes blocked by the confines of your ego, the constriction of your ego's grasp. I love the acronym for ego, easing God out. When you identify with the smallness of your individual ego, you separate yourself in consciousness from that universal presence that is God. This is a great paradox, because in life, to be a human being is to have an ego. You need your ego. It supports you in distinguishing yourself from others. But when you fail to recognize that your ego is just one part of who you are, you shut the door on God. You ease God out. The channel through which you experience God closes, and you're trapped inside your ego's limited perspective. When you're inside your ego, you can think about God and talk about God, but you can't feel God. And it's not until you feel God that you will truly know God. When you're connected to spirit, you bring conscious awareness, love, and compassion to your ego. This allows you to open up. The more divine light and love you give to yourself and your precious wounded ego, the deeper your connection will be to the divine. It is easy to make the ego wrong and label it the black sheep of the family, but it's not. Your ego plays a vital role. It just needs to be reminded that it plays only one role. It's just a part of who you are, What often gets in the way for many of us who turn to God, a higher power, or a spiritual path is spiritual pride. We turn inward because the life we are living has led us astray. We may feel a void of meaning in our life and a hunger for fulfillment. We seek God with the hope that we will experience more love, more connection, and more satisfaction. We read voraciously to fill our minds with words and thoughts about God. We pray, meditate, dance, chant, and sing to get closer to our beloved, to know God, to have God change our inner world so that we may find peace. But here's the tricky part. We often fall into the trap of spiritual arrogance. When we don't acknowledge that we are human beings, ego-driven beings, when we don't have the proper structures or feedback systems in place, we unknowingly slip out of our divine connection and slip back into our now spiritually sophisticated ego. With all our new spiritual distinctions, the ego is now loaded with ammunition to protect itself and keep it alive. It now has new language to use and a new mask to hide behind. Remember, the ego in its grandest form wants to believe it is God, that there is no greater power, that it's bigger than life and bigger than everyone else. The ego prides itself on knowing more and being more than the other guy or gal. So it mercilessly and ruthlessly finds ways to disguise itself. So here we are, thinking we are beyond the ego, so good, so bright, so knowledgeable, so above the common unconscious family member or idiotic coworker. We assume because our spiritually updated ego tells us that our perception comes from our spiritual essence, when in truth, it is often just a newly evolved form of our ego's operating system, otherwise known as spiritual pride. It becomes more complex to try to question ourselves and see ourselves clearly without activating the insecure, doubt-filled, scared ego, which believes we are really with God when, in fact, we have eased God out. Spiritual pride, unfortunately, is now rampant in our world because there are so many people who know so much. We have had deep spiritual experiences. We have visited the higher realms of awareness. We have tasted connectedness. Because of this, we must be diligent. We must stay steadfast and humble in full awareness that we cannot capture true spirituality, that we cannot lock ourselves into God consciousness. We must not take our connection for granted or forget that arrogance is the devil's trap door. This trap door threatens to cut us off from our divine essence. I can tell you I have fallen through the trap door too many times myself. You might imagine that since I teach this, I would be immune. At least that is what I used to believe, but I'm not. So many times I believed I was standing in my holiness, my divine essence, when in truth, I was deeply rooted in my humanness. My sometimes nasty little trickster of an ego disguised itself so well that until I hit a brick wall, I was unable to see that I had lost the one thing that had given me more than I ever believed possible, my divine connection, my commitment to being a living expression of God's will. It wasn't until I lost money, love, or my physical health that I was able to escape the strong hold of my ego's grip and return to the subtle grace of my spiritual essence. Relieve me of my arrogance. Relieve me of my pride. Relieve me of my know-it-all nature and place me by your side. This is the amazing lesson I learned. It's your job to enroll your ego in your mission to live a divinely inspired life. You must show the ego the benefits of joining forces with the holy aspects of yourself. You must assure your ego that you are not here to wipe it out, but instead to support it in getting all its needs met. You must take charge of the grandness of your human experience and let your ego know that you will embrace it all, your humanity and your divinity. Once you stop easing God out and allow divine consciousness to be your guide, you will be able to receive the many gifts that are waiting to be opened and enjoyed. Gifts and extraordinary realities that might now seem unattainable. For most people, these gifts show up like miracles. Let me remind you that your ego probably doesn't like miracles, because miracles are an expression of a greater reality, a reality beyond your limitations. Miracles are nothing more than occurrences outside the realm of what you believe to be possible. So for a miracle to happen, which inside your ego structure can only happen if you're willing to be wrong about what you know, which pisses the ego off more than anything, you must again give up your righteous positions and limiting beliefs and what you believe to be the truth of your life. Prayer will help you do this. Prayer asks the ego to step aside and give up control so the unknown can show up. Prayer, in and of itself, is the invitation for forces seen and unseen to guide and support you and make it all happen for you. If you go out each day looking for miracles, you will find them. They are there, I promise. So you might be thinking, if this is true, why aren't I just looking for miracles? Well, this is both a simple and a difficult question to answer. If you bask in God's love and light, you are already living inside a miracle, so you don't want or need much of anything. When you look through God's eyes, all the miracles that you normally wouldn't distinguish as miracles are clearly visible. You see amazing power and intricacies of the human body. You marvel at the way the brain functions. You're awed by the sunset, the clouds, the changing of seasons, sunlight, a growing plant, the laughter of a child. Inside God consciousness, life is much simpler, because an effortless flow beckons you only to love yourself, your neighbors, your community, and your world. This divine realm calls on you to deliver your gifts with joy and impeccability and asks you to open up to all of who you are so that others may know all of who they are. Returning to your holiness is a process of giving up who you are, what you believe, and what you expect so you can discover the spirit in you that is indefinable, unlimited, and spectacular. And when you're in the presence of this spirit, you no longer have to try to be someone you're not. You won't have to try to be good enough, smart enough, thin enough, rich enough, funny enough, special enough, interesting enough, caring enough, or selfless enough. You just get to be whoever you authentically are in that moment. You won't want the light. You'll be the light. You'll no longer seek the beloved. You'll know that you are the beloved. If you desire to return to your holiness, here are the questions you must ask yourself. How do I get quiet enough to hear the crystal clear voice of God? How do I let go of what I know, what I don't know, what I want, and what I need right now to quiet my mind so completely that I can hear the soft whisper of my Creator? What will it take to open my mind and let the divine find her way into my awareness? How do I slip into God's dressing room? How can I dissolve my fears and concerns, at least for the moment, so that I can undress, slip off my barriers, and let the divine dress me in the clothes that she has laid out for me? Who do I need to be to step into the highest clothes that I am meant to wear right here and right now? In answering these questions, you will meet and merge with your most divine self, your holiness. Section 2. The Call to Prayer. The Call to Prayer. Every night when you sit to meditate, pray to God unceasingly. Tear the silence with your longing. Cry to God as you would cry to your mother or to your father. Where are you? You made me. You gave me intelligence to seek you. You are in the flowers, in the moon, and in the stars. Must you remain hidden? Come to me. You must. You must. With all the concentration of your mind, with all the love of your heart, tear at the veils of silence again and again. As constant churning brings butter out of milk, churn the ether with the ladle of your devotion, and it shall produce God. Paramahansa Yogananda, from The Divine Romance. Every religion, tradition, culture, and creed practices some version of what is known as the call to prayer. Although I have prayed in many temples and churches around the world, one of the most moving experiences I had was hearing the call to prayer while visiting Istanbul, Turkey, several years ago. After checking into my hotel room and getting unpacked, I decided to lie down and take a short nap. I dozed off, thinking about all the adventures that awaited me over the next few days, leading a shadow process workshop in a foreign land, giving interviews, and enjoying dinners, shopping, and sightseeing. I was so excited, but already feeling jet-lagged. My tired body tossed and turned for a little bit while I struggled to get comfortable. Then suddenly, from outside my window, I began to hear a beautiful chant. It was like nothing I had ever heard before. A man's deep voice chanted words I couldn't understand, but the resonance of the chant penetrated my consciousness and immediately soothed my soul. Hearing it, my body relaxed and my heart opened up to a deeper place within me. A smile crossed my face as my spirit ached to know what was beckoning me. I later learned that this enchanting sound is known as the Islamic call to prayer. 5 times each day, at dawn, at midday, in the middle of the afternoon, just after sunset, and again at nightfall, everyone is implored to stop, to hasten to prayer, to take out their prayer rugs, and to commune with God. I fell in love with this dramatic beckoning to the divine. Even though I'm Jewish, I wanted to be included. I wanted to call out to God, to hear the chants echo through the streets, to live in a culture that was proud to serve the divine. It was like I was living in a different reality where God was first, and it felt so good. It was one great big spiritual commitment. Suddenly, I didn't need to sleep anymore, because knowing that so many were in the mosques praying made me feel a part of something greater, grander than my individual reality. Across the globe, and for all of known time, human beings have found a way to acknowledge the divine source of our lives. In fact, there are as many forms of prayer as there are interpretations of God. Christians bow their heads with hands pressed together at the heart. Muslims pray several times each day, often summoning divine forces out loud. Buddhists pray to the 10 directions. In Tibet, fluttering prayer flags are thought to spread harmony and good fortune through the wind. The Jewish tradition is rich with prayers, blessings, and rituals to sanctify nature, special events, and rites of passage. Native Americans perform ghost dances, pipe ceremonies, and ritualistic burnings of medicinal plants when praying for healing. In the Hindu and Vedic traditions of India and Tibet, prayers are recited while turning the 108 beads of a japa mala. Gospel singers reach to the heavens with their voices in their hands, passionately pulling down and bringing in the connection with the divine. From Ramadan to the Jewish High Holy Days to the fall equinox, we pay homage to the profound mystery that runs beneath the surface of our conscious awareness. So each day, you must do your own call to prayer. With reverence, bring your heart and soul, your intention and your desire, and summon the connection that your soul is longing for you to experience. It seems so hard in this very busy life to take a few minutes each and every day, 4 or 5 times a day, to pay a visit to your source. This is the source that nourishes and sustains you, which can and will, if you so desire, bring you a holy life. Thank God for everything you have and everything that you will be given. And then, with passion and humility, ask to be visited. This is how we find God. Ask and you shall receive. Under your wings. Please, God, visit me today. Help me to make wise choices, choices that will empower me and free me. Help me cut the cords of self-destruction. I need you now by my side. I need you to take care of me today and give me the courage to transcend my difficulty. Dear God, let me know you are there. Give me a sign of encouragement so I can regain my faith. I promise, beginning today, I will bring my heart and my soul to you each day for nourishment and wisdom. I promise to give up control of my life and hand the reins back over to you. I surrender to your love and guidance. Thank you for taking me back. I feel the shift happening inside me. The lightness of a connected heart is beginning to show itself. Thank you. Bless you. I am with you, so I know you are with me, and so it is, and it is so. Amen. Your call must be passionate. It must transcend any and all other thoughts or commitments. Your call should arise from deep in your heart, demanding that you be returned and united with your holiest self, with your Creator. Only you can choose to walk with God, to cuddle up with God, to feed God, to pamper God, to sleep with God. Only you have say whether or not you will fully awaken to God in this lifetime. You are in charge. Yes, you. You have the magic wand in your hand, the fairy dust to transform your inner and outer worlds, to choose God first. How lucky are you? The Daily Ritual of Prayer. Let the light of God flow through my heart, my mind, my body, and my soul. Let me open up to all of God's love, for when I am wrapped in her arms, I am one with my beloved. While I adore these special times of holy ritual, the truth is that every day can be a holy day. Every day we have the opportunity to open our eyes, reconnect with our source, and experience the magic of life. When we pray, we are drawn within to the quietness of our inner being. This is the sacred common ground that exists among all forms of prayer. It makes no difference whether we get down on our hands and knees, whether we lie down or sit in a meditative position. We need only the willingness to disengage our minds from their usual focus, to be still and seek solitude. I found a beautiful verse from an ancient Jewish text that reminds me of this. It says, "How can you not take time to be in solitude, to be only with the divine, when most of the time you're alone and unique? In your mother's womb, you are alone and unique. When you sleep, the body is alone and unique, and the soul is alone and unique. In the grave, the body is alone and unique. Also, the soul is unique in the Garden of Eden. Therefore, listen and always walk with the divine, and do not separate yourself from him for a moment. For if you seek the divine, he will seek you too and will not leave you. How beautiful and pleasant his company is, for he is your divine father who acquired you, and he made you and established you. Rejoining with this divine presence requires only that you step